Welcome to Building the Bakken Radio. My name is Jason Spies. I'm your host today, and thank you folks for joining us this week right here on Building the Bakken Radio, the most trusted energy brand in the Bakken today. Building the Bakken is not a political program, rather an informational brand. No polarizing talk, just conversations about the facts of the energy industry. Building the Bakken is about the people, the community, and the industry, those who are involved with the evolution of the Bakken oil field and the oil and gas industry. On today's episode of Building the Bakken Radio, we talk with Lynn Helms, Director for the North Dakota Department of Mineral Resources, about natural gas, investments into the Bakken shale play, as well as what companies have to do in order to attract those investments away from Texas and Oklahoma. Lynn Helms coming up a little bit later on in the program. Also, Fred Fox, Tribal Council representative from the MHA Nation. About 25% of the oil reserves are under the MHA Nation. And Fred Fox, Tribal Council representative, talks about what is happening up there on the reservation in the Bakken oil fields. Of course, our weekly update with the Davis Refinery coming to Belfield, North Dakota, just a permit or two away before they start sticking those shovels in the ground. Well, actually, heavy machinery. Think of those construction jobs that are going to be coming out to Belfield pretty soon. Anyway, a little bit later on in the program, our weekly update on the Davis Refinery, the first greenfield refinery, the cleanest refinery in the planet, coming to Belfield, North Dakota, right here in the Bakken Shale Play. Plus the weekly word from Professor Stephen Hines and Rob Lindberg of Bakken Backers. All that plus much more on today's episode of Building the Bakken Radio. My name is Jason Spies, and this is Building the Bakken Radio, heard on the Crude Life Media Network. Let me take a moment to talk to you about Eric Hatch and Hatch Coaching. Eric Hatch has built an empire on the business of helping others, and in this case, that means helping companies create wealth and abundance. Eric Hatch speaks on workplace culture, honesty in the workplace, transparency, faith, compassionate capitalism, and many other topics that will grow your business. Call and reserve Eric Hatch today, 701-318-4946. Or I'll tell you what, send me an email, jason@thecrudelife.com, and I'll make sure that it gets to Eric Hatch. The music on today's program is written and performed by the Moody River Band. To find out more about the Moody River Band or their music, visit our website, thecrudelife.com, and click on the Musician tab. That's thecrudelife.com, and click on the Musicians tab.
Well, I was 2 years old when John Lennon died. Well, I was 23 when George said goodbye.
Welcome back to Building the Bakken Radio, heard in the Crude Life Media Network. My name is Jason Spies, and I'm your host today. Thank you, folks, for joining us. Up next, we talk with Rob Lindberg with Bakken Backers.
Rob Lindberg, Director of Bakken Backers.
Awesome. Okay, Bakken Backers. It's commercial time. Let's talk about Bakken Backers. What do you guys do?
Bakken Backers is a grassroots organization that supports North Dakota's oil industry. We're kind of the drill baby drill group, if you want to put it simplistically. But the energy industry brings a lot of opportunity in North Dakota in terms of jobs and income and royalties, and not just in the industry, but spread throughout community businesses. And we face a lot of really well-funded opposition. We saw it with Dakota Access, and we'll continue to see it as we go forward from kind of environmental groups and some really radical people who are opposed to petroleum usage at all. It's the keep in the ground group that threatens us a lot. And we see it through different things in North Dakota, and we've continued to fight both on the policy side of things, but also just even perceptions of Western North Dakota and try to get the realities out there. Sideline a little bit, when we're really in the midst of it all, the boom, one of the things that we saw in our survey data was Western North Dakota's perceptions of problems were very tactical. They wanted roads, they wanted housing, infrastructure type things. Outside of Western North Dakota, we really saw more perception type things. And it was people perceiving that crime was high or that traffic was terrible. And it was the headline type of stuff, but we try to shift that focus to really what the needs were and bring that back to reality, because it wasn't a high crime, you know, Wild West like it was perceived. It was wild, but it wasn't It wasn't the Wild West. So.
Well, there was a certain time where it was just an influx of people, and that's just how it goes. I mean, it's in Minnesota, they used to have Wii Fest, at least I don't know if they still do, where you can bring your lawn chairs to the front. And guess what? Some people trip on the way there because they're pushing each other, and it's just when you try to put too many things into something that can't handle it, you have some, you know, you have some whatever, growing pains and that sort of thing. But you're right, it wasn't as bad, the crime wasn't as bad as a lot of people made it out to be. Your organization sounds like you guys do a lot of political activism. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, and so we do a lot of letters to the editor, letters to your legislator, and those sorts of interactions. We put on a lot of events, such as Bakken 2.0 at the Petroleum Council conference this week, where we just try to engage with the public and give them a little snippet of what the energy industry means.
So talk to me about this political activity part first. You mentioned the Dakota Access Pipeline. You've mentioned legislators, budgets, that sort of thing. How is it that you communicate with people? How is it that you reach people? Imagine you got a website and a newsletter or something like that. Talk about all those different things.
It's a lot of digitally based when we have efforts. We have a website, it's backthebakken.org, and if you sign up there, you kind of hear whenever there's an issue that pops up. And usually it pops up pretty fast because there's some sort of issue that happened and maybe the negotiations haven't gone far enough, and then now we need to kick in that public perception. You know, and when we reformed the oil tax to remove the trigger and kind of flatten the tax out, we had a lot of people from Eastern North Dakota contact their legislators and really tell them why they support it, why it's important for that stability to be in the oil industry for even their own community and their own businesses. And so it's those sorts of things. And of course, Dakota Access was a beast of its own. And in that one, we really just kind of came with the strategic decision that we're never going to beat the environmental groups in the national scene, but we can do some good work in North Dakota. And so we focus within our borders, and it's surprising. After that, the approval ratings for our industry actually grew, not by a lot, by a couple points. And I think it's because people became more aware of what the industry means and how important it is, and they kind of had to pick a side.
Mm-hmm. 2.0, education part of it, building the bridge, if you will. How is it you guys are doing this? Talk about, well, we're here at the North Dakota Petroleum Council, and you guys had your 2.0 day yesterday. Run through the lineup a little bit, and during that process, explain what it is, and I think that'll tell the story right there.
Yeah, you know, what we really try to do is give that economic and kind of technical presentation on how it all works and what it all means by the numbers and by the processes. But then we really try to bring in kind of the softer side, too. So we had myself talk about the economics and what it really shows in state budgets and wages and that sort of thing. Kathy Nesson gives a fantastic presentation just on the basic geology and processes of the industry.
To listen to the full-length interview with Rob Lindberg from Bakken Backers, or to listen to other Building the Bakken features, visit thecrudelife.com. That's thecrudelife.com. Building the Bakken Radio is part of the Crude Life Media Network. Check out the website, crudelife.com, or check out the social media links on Facebook and Twitter. That's facebook.com/thecrudelife. facebook.com/thecrudelife. Once again, Building the Bakken Radio is part of the Crude Life Media Network. My name is Jason Spies, and this is Building the Bakken Radio, heard on the Crude Life Media Network. If you have any questions on oil, gas, or the Bakken, or any other energy development question, feel free to email the program at jason@thecrudelife.com. That's jason@thecrudelife.com. And please follow our Facebook page as well. That's facebook.com/thecrudelife. Listen to us on iTunes as well. Search The Crude Life. New and free downloads every single week on iTunes. Search for The Crude Life on iTunes.
If you don't take off your mask, when the outside's chilly, the inside is warm, you've been wishing you never been born. All I can say is that you try to behave and try not to get your mind blown.
Since 1979, MBI Energy Services has committed to responsibly growing with today's oil and gas industry by providing proven experience, strategic locations, and integrated services. MBI Energy Services is well established, and its innovation in safety and excellent customer service is what truly makes MBI Energy Services the oil field service professionals. Learn more at MBIEnergyServices.com.
Welcome back to Building the Bakken Radio, heard in the Crude Life Media Network. My name is Jason Spies, and I'm your host today. Thank you, folks, for joining us. Up next, we talk with Lynn Helms, Director for the North Dakota Department of Mineral Resources.
Lynn Helms, Department of Mineral Resources.
Here at the North Dakota Petroleum Council, you're speaking, of course, or at least moderating part of a... No, you were on a panel today. What did you talk about today?
Yeah, Jason. Yesterday I was part of Bakken 2.0 and talked about brand new technologies or coming technologies that we think are going to impact Bakken and North Dakota oil and gas industry. And then today I was on a panel with John Haryu and Chris, I can't remember Chris's last name, with Liberty Resources.
Right.
And we were talking about improving oil recovery from the Bakken. So we talked about refracts, we talked about new hydraulic fracturing technology, we talked about enhanced oil recovery. We're behind all those things in a big way, regulatory-wise, and trying to do everything we can to encourage those things. Liberty is also a big proponent doing refracts and getting ready to start a pilot enhanced oil recovery project. And, of course, EERC has done all the lab work to help companies know what might and might not work in terms of enhanced oil recovery. So a great triangle there and a good panel and a lot of interest from the audience.
I got silicon written down. I wanted to bring that up because Chris Wright from Liberty Resources did bring that up as an example, and it was a good example about how we had this abundant product that we didn't know how to use properly, and now that we know how to use it, and right away I thought of natural gas. Right away, that's the first thing I thought of. And there are some other things, too, whether it be CO2 as well. And let's touch on that. But then I want to get back to something you said about we're behind on regulation. So if I forget my thought, but let's talk about the silicon and just the abundance of waste, if you will. But it's not waste because it's usable.
Right. So, you know, Chris used silicon as an example of how mankind looks at things that are abundantly available and doesn't really find a useful purpose for them, and how it was just in the 20th century that we figured out that silicon had an incredible value in terms of electronics, and it powers really modern 21st century life. He was talking about the abundance of ethane and the abundance of produced natural gas in the state of North Dakota, and how just because those are abundant doesn't mean we're thinking innovatively about how to utilize them and make better use of them. So some of the things that we're pushing, obviously enhanced oil recovery, like we talked about, both of those have potential for that. But I don't think you want to forget about the state's efforts through commerce and through work with taxes to try to get value-added industries into the state so that rather than exporting natural gas or natural gas liquids as a commodity, we actually add value to them, that we create North Dakota jobs, create capital investment in North Dakota, and build an industry that adds value and sells finished products instead of commodities.
After you guys spoke, Governor Burgum took the stage, and normally in this show we don't get political, and it's not meant to be a political statement, and you don't get in the political realm either, although it's all around you all the time, and that's where I'm coming at. His message was about as subtle as sandpaper, that North Dakota's behind on a lot of things. You mentioned we're behind on the regulatory side. He brought up several other things, whether it be from the UAS industry in terms of capturing data, that big data is another thing. That's how I took it, is that North Dakota has got to kick some things in gear. Am I out of line for thinking that?
Well, I don't think that the governor was necessarily, or that I was talking about the fact that we're behind, but we've lost that edge. We've lost that, in first place, the competition for capital has shifted to Oklahoma and Texas, and largely because the perception is there that they can produce oil cheaper and faster. They're closer to markets. And that if North Dakota is going to take first place again in terms of competition, we've got to become cutting edge first in technology, in regulation, in innovation, in value added, in all the areas that we've been talking about. So we haven't exactly fallen behind, but we haven't continued to innovate to the extent that we maintain first place in terms of where capital wants to go.
And I guess in part of it of falling behind, as you're right, it's not necessarily even falling behind. It's more of an observation and not a warning, but hey, this is what historically has happened, and if we don't change our behavior or thoughts, this is what's going to happen to us. And I got that out of the big data, the technology, because I don't think people understand the speed of change when you're talking about technology. And I remember 3-4 years ago sitting in a meeting in Bismarck hiring pilots. Now we're talking about drones, and that's within a year or two. What else is changing rapidly out in the oil and gas world?
Well, I think the governor touched on it, and that is automatic data collection and data analysis. We can collect an awful lot of data, but if we don't automate those systems for the data collection so that we're gathering what we need continuously and when we need it, and if we don't automate the analysis of the data, then we just fill enormous amounts of data storage with information that is useless to people in terms of innovation and improvement. So he's really pushing the initiatives of more automatic data collection points and systems to automatically analyze that and alert somebody that there is an issue or an opportunity to make something happen.
And I think we've talked about this years about layering in some other industries, and I think when ag gets layered in, we're going to see some incredible change. And that brings me to my next question, and now we're going to wrap up here, is, you know, the bear bull market, we heard a lot of that today, is whether we're in a bull market or bear market. But I like to, in oil and gas, I look at it as an execution and a research and development as the bull and the bear. And I'm starting to see some of that execution from these science projects that they had for years and years. You at the ERC, with your involvement there, talk about some of the innovation that's going on and how we're starting to see the execution.
Well, I think you brought something up that's important to keep in mind, Jason, is that the oil and gas industry is capable of generating profits in a bull and a bear market. There's a difference, obviously, in a bull market when oil prices are high or rising, capital is attracted to things like drilling and increasing production. In a bear market, when prices are declining, then the shift and the focus is to investing capital in innovation and automation and reducing costs. And so we've seen through state government and through the EERC that same kind of a shift from how can we figure out processes to drill more wells faster to how can we figure out processes and data that allows us to produce oil at a reduced cost. And both of those will keep North Dakota highly competitive. But we need to be able to refocus as the markets shift from attracting capital because prices are going higher versus attracting capital because we're learning how to shift costs or reduce costs.
To listen to the full-length interview with Lynn Helms, Director for the North Dakota Department of Mineral Resources, or to listen to other Building the Bakken features, visit thecrudelife.com. That's thecrudelife.com. Building the Bakken Radio is part of the Crude Life Media Network. Check us out on Facebook and Twitter. That's facebook.com/thecrudelife. facebook.com/thecrudelife. Like I mentioned, Building the Bakken Radio is part of the Crude Life Media Network, and all of our social media links can be found at thecrudelife.com. That's thecrudelife.com. My name is Jason Spies. This is Building the Bakken Radio, heard in the Crude Life Media Network. Too far away. Well, the moonlight shining on my walk home. I'm breathing in cold, they're exhaling smoke. So quiet, I can hear it all.
Music on today's program is written and performed by the Moody River Band. To find out more about the Moody River Band or their music, visit our website, thecrudelife.com, and click on the Musician tab. That's thecrudelife.com, and click on the Musicians tab. If you have any questions on oil, gas, or the Bakken, or any other energy development question, feel free to email the program at jason@thecrudelife.com. That's jason@thecrudelife.com. And feel free to like our Facebook page as well. That's facebook.com/buildingthebakken. That's facebook.com/buildingthebakken. Like us on Facebook today. Let me take a moment to talk to you about Eric Hatch and Hatch Coaching. Now, with Hatch Coaching, you'll experience extreme transparency. Eric Hatch has built an empire on the business of helping others, and in this case, that means helping companies create wealth and abundance. By choosing Hatch Coaching, you're going to gain the knowledge and tools that will take your business to that next level. Eric Hatch speaks on workplace culture, honesty in the workplace, transparency, faith, compassionate capitalism, and many other topics that will grow your business. Make sure you call and reserve Eric Hatch today, 701-318-4946. That's 701-318-4946. Or I'll tell you what, send me an email, jason@thecrudelife.com. That's jason@thecrudelife.com. And I'll make sure that it gets to Eric Hatch. It's time for your company to create wealth and abundance too. Reserve Eric Hatch today.
Since 1979, MBI Energy Services has committed to responsibly growing with today's oil and gas industry by providing proven experience, strategic locations, and integrated services. MBI Energy Services is well established, and its innovation in safety and excellent customer service is what truly makes MBI Energy Services the oil field service professionals. Learn more at mbienergyservices.com.
Meridian Energy Group of Belfield, North Dakota is building the most technologically advanced oil refinery on the planet, the Davis Refinery. A project designed to achieve emission control levels the industry has never seen before. The Davis Refinery, working for North Dakota. MeridianEnergyGroupInc.com.
Welcome back to Building the Bakken Radio, heard in the Crude Life Media Network. My name is Jason Spies, and I'm your host today. Up next, Fred Fox, Tribal Council Representative with the MHA Nation.
My name is Fred Fox. I'm the Executive Secretary on the Tribal Business Council for the MHA Nation and Fort Berthold Reservation.
And now, is there another Tribal Fox as well, or are you
Chairman
that?
Mark Fox is the chairman of the tribe. I'm Fred Fox. I'm elected official for the Whiteshield segment, which is I'm also the executive secretary in our business council.
Any relation?
Yes, there's a relation. Yes.
Okay, so before we get into that, just an update from the MHA Nation, whether it be from the three tribes or whether it be from the actual. Missouri River Resources or the MHA Nation from an oil and gas perspective, community building.
What's been happening with Three Affiliated is we're continually trying to develop partnerships with different companies on the reservation. We currently have the Missouri River Resources that are currently they've developed I believe over 4 to 5 wells right now, and we're currently on schedule to develop 26 more wells over by the Little Missouri. We're currently working on our oil storage facility over in the Plaza area, along with the Clean Fuels Refinery that is still being worked in the process. We did get a permit for our oil storage facility. The current production is roughly around 220,000 barrels per day over on the Fort Berthold Indian Reservation. I believe the tribe alone, with the tribal minerals that the tribe does own, is roughly 20,000 to 25,000 barrels per day. Currently, right now, the royalties that the individual allottees have earned, when I say that, the reservations about 1 million acres. The allottees of our reservation, tribal members, individually own roughly, about 320,000 acres. Out of that 320,000 acres they own, since 2008, individual allottees have earned $2.1 billion in royalties in 2008. The tribes earned probably roughly about $500 million. We own roughly about 190,000 acres, probably about 160,000 are produced. So that's kind of the what we have now. There's probably about 12 drilling rigs on our reservation. I'm also the former oil and gas director, energy director for our tribe back in 2006 to about 2010 until I got elected to the Tribal Business Council. So we currently have our own oil development program for our tribe. Currently, we're working on the taxes with the state of North Dakota. You know, we do believe that we've spent a lot of money building our roads. Currently, right now, we put $30 million into BIA 12. We currently put last year we put $28 million into BIA 14. I think in total, about in the past 4 years, we've roughly built around $120 million in roads on our reservation. So the infrastructure is slowly getting built. We still have to keep up with the pace of the crime. What's happening on our reservation is that we have dual jurisdiction with non-tribal members, where we have to have the ability to control crime not only from our tribal members, but from off-tribal members. So it's tough, and we have to make sure our law enforcements are funded at a level that we can make sure our citizens are safe at Fort Berthold.
To listen to the full-length interview with Fred Fox, Tribal Council Representative with the MHA Nation, or listen to other Building the Bakken features, visit thecrudelife.com. That's thecrudelife.com. Building the Bakken Radio is part of the Crude Life Media Network. Check us out on social media, facebook.com/thecrudelife. facebook.com/thecrudelife. My name is Jason Spies, and this is Building the Bakken Radio, heard in the Crude Life Media Network. The music on today's program is written and performed by the Moody River Band. To find out more about the Moody River Band or their music, visit our website, thecrudelife.com, and click on the Musician tab. That's thecrudelife.com, and click on the Musicians tab. If you have any questions on oil, gas, or the Bakken, or any other energy development question, feel free to email the program at jason@thecrudelife.com. That's jason@thecrudelife.com. And feel free to like our Facebook page as well. That's facebook.com/buildingthebakken. That's facebook.com/buildingthebakken. Like us on Facebook today. Take a moment to talk to you about Eric Hatch and Hatch Coaching. Now with Hatch Coaching, you'll experience extreme transparency. Eric Hatch has built an empire on the business of helping others, and in this case, that means helping companies create wealth and abundance. By choosing Hatch Coaching, you're going to gain the knowledge and tools that will take your business to that next level. Eric Hatch speaks on workplace culture, honesty in the workplace, transparency, faith, compassionate capitalism, and many other topics that will grow your business. Make sure you call and reserve Eric Hatch today, 701-318-4946. That's 701-318-4946. Or I'll tell you what, send me an email, jason@thecrudelife.com. That's jason@thecrudelife.com, and I'll make sure that it gets to Eric Hatch. It's time for your company to create wealth and abundance too. Reserve Eric Hatch today. It's now time for the Weekly Word with Professor Stephen Hines, energy columnist and owner of the Word Merchant.
There's a lesson that we have learned some things from Katrina, so we have done a better job with our infrastructure, but we're still really slow on the uptake right now. I'm a little encouraged by what is his name, the new chairman of the of FERC, Chatterley. He was at these hearings in the House, and he is really sort of refocusing on that very issue, infrastructure, and what the FERC can do, and how it can help the state. So another thing that that implies is you're not going to have federal agencies dictating like the EPA tried to do with the Clean Power Plan. They are going to be what's called cooperative federalism, which means that the FERC is going to work closely with the regions that do the transmission, but also the states who have their own, each state has its own set of a matrix of things it does for power plants and sources of energy. So it's going to be more cooperative, and that has to be a good sign. One little funny story. I'm reading stories about Ohio, and one of the things that they're trying, I think probably to attract more pipelines, but also to start the whole process for fracking. But one of the positives they said about Ohio, this is about a week ago, was that they didn't have hurricanes. And I thought it was funny at the time. What are we talking about? And then all of a sudden we have a couple hurricanes, and now all of a sudden that makes sense. And I suppose it makes a lot of sense for North Dakota. You know, one of the things to advertise for the state is you don't have hurricanes.
Professor Stephen Hines, the word merchant. So how can people sign up for your word, your daily word, and weekly word, that sort of thing? Actually, I'm calling this segment the weekly word. But how can people get a hold of you and sign up and all that good stuff?
Okay, well, I continue to do, you know, most of my posting. I used to post both on Energy Central and on LinkedIn, but it turns out that Energy Central is too, I don't know, it just doesn't have enough readership. So you can find me at Stephen Hines at the Word Merchant on LinkedIn. And I'm trying to post, you know, as much, at least 4 or 5 times a week. So what I'm doing, and I think you've noticed this, Jason, what I'm doing is I'm taking what I think is, you know, at least in my little world or my big world, because it includes 18 or 20 different aspects of energy and environmental.
For more information on Professor Stephen Hines, the Word Merchant, visit our website, thecrudelife.com, for his contact information. That's our website, thecrudelife.com, for links to Professor Stephen Hines's contact information. And that was Professor Stephen Hines with The Weekly Word. The music on today's program is written and performed by the Moody River Band. To find out more about the Moody River Band or their music, visit our website, thecrudelife.com, and click on the Musician tab. That's thecrudelife.com, and click on the Musicians tab.
Since 1979, MBI Energy Services has committed to responsibly growing with today's oil and gas industry by providing proven experience, strategic locations, and integrated services. MBI Energy Services is well established, and its innovation in safety and excellent customer service is what truly makes MBI Energy Services the oil field service professionals. Learn more at mbienergyservices.com.
Meridian Energy Group of Belfield, North Dakota, is building the most technologically advanced oil refinery on the planet, the Davis Refinery. A project designed to achieve emission control levels the industry has never seen before. The Davis Refinery, working for North Dakota. MeridianEnergyGroupInc.com.
Welcome back to Building the Bakken Radio, heard in the Crude Life Media Network. My name is Jason Spies, and I'm your host today. In our next segment, we talk with Dan Hedrington from SEH. Just based on be a fly on the wall for me for a second, how did they do answering some of the questions? Did the people seem satisfied? Did they seem like they had more questions afterwards?
They actually seemed very satisfied. And afterwards, we kind of had a, I don't want to call it a reception afterwards, but, you know, people kind of meander around. They come up and ask questions and, you know, additional stuff when it's kind of one-on-one. And it was very, very positive. So people, I think, were very satisfied with what was going on. So Meridian sent in, I think there were six of us. So six of us, all from different disciplines or different portions of the project. So we had people there that were, you know, specifically, you know, head of operations. We had people there that were talking about, you know, the crude, securing the crude, and then the offloading of refined products. We were able to answer about any question, actually I would say any question that was asked of us. We had the people who were in the know on that topic. So Meridian goes all out on these, and they put in, they don't just, you know, say, okay, let's just send one person and try our best. They say, no, let's send out the team. Let's make sure that everybody's there and everybody can answer the questions as they arise. So it went very, very well. I think Meridian is responding just, you know, in an outstanding manner. And I think the locals are appreciative of it. They showed that by just, to be honest, the round of applause that we received at the completion of it. It was very supportive and very enthusiastic, and we're proud to be a part of it. It keeps us, you know, highly motivated when you know all the locals are very enthusiastic about our project as well.
And I know what you mean, where they're supportive, but they have questions, because I'll be honest with you, a lot of people in Western North Dakota are very protective of Theodore Roosevelt National Park. The last time you and I spoke, we talked about the kite test, which was great, you know, to do that. And because you guys have gone to some pretty amazing lengths in order to satisfy and ensure that this is not going to be problematic, this is not going to be an eyesore and those types of things. What type of, you know, I guess, satisfaction is being done for the locals when it comes to the visibility? I know you've done the kite test, but did that come up, and is there anything more that is being done to kind of satisfy the hesitation when it comes to Theodore Roosevelt National Park?
So, yeah, and actually, so you made a good point. From the beginning, we were directed by the leadership team, specifically William Prentice, like you had mentioned him earlier, the CEO of the company. His major concerns are making sure that we're taking all of these impacts to locals, impacts to the park, we're taking all of those issues very, very seriously, top priority kind of stuff. So the original siting of the facility, remember, we have access to a fair amount of property out there, especially with the support of the local ranchers that we have. That site was picked specifically because we knew then, when we started doing our initial modeling just of the visual impacts of the facility, that if we put it in that location, we lowered it down, it would be lower than the horizon line. It was so all of those efforts that you talked about as far as for the kite test and those kind of issues and those visual tests, those are by design. I mean, we didn't just happen to put it somewhere and say, guess what? We got lucky and said, you can't see it, and went up there and crossed our fingers. That wasn't the case. We knew that we were confident that it wasn't going to be seen. So those issues were taken into account from the, you know, original siting of the facility. We had to site it for many, many other reasons in that location as far as for connectivity to rail and pipelines and the highway system and all of that kind of stuff. It's a great location for our model. So we took those visual impacts, you know, very seriously right off the bat. What's going on currently is just making them better. So we are looking at putting in berms around the facility and putting natural vegetation on those berms. The local universities have offered some help, and we've actually reached out to them, said, you know, would you like to participate in evaluating these visual impacts and helping us to develop screening methods, like I said, berms, trees, vegetation, that kind of stuff that would grow naturally in that setting, to reduce it even more. Everywhere else, we're trying to minimize it. We're using color schemes that match the existing terrain out there. We're using berms, we're using vegetation. So we're doing a lot of stuff, and that continues because we're getting some support from local universities and just locals in the area anyway that have good ideas. It's ongoing.
How about government officials? Did any government officials show up to this public meeting out in Belfield? And if so, what was their response to all this?
Yeah, actually, they did. And it was the same kind of thing I discussed earlier, is that very enthusiastic, very supportive. Some of the officials were able to discuss some of the impacts as far as for jobs and tax base and growth in the area. There was even, you know, some people that were able to recall, you know, the businesses that used to exist that kind of died off before the boom and, you know, kind of lamented the fact that, you know, they weren't able to preserve those. So this is something that I think the local officials are very supportive of, even though they're watching things very closely. So supportive and enthusiastic doesn't mean that they're not paying attention to the details, because they are, and we're offering them opportunities to provide input to different components of the facility.
To listen to the full-length interview with Dan Hedrington from SEH, or to listen to other Building the Bakken features, visit buildingthebakken.com. That's buildingthebakken.com. My name is Jason Spies, and this is Building the Bakken Radio, heard in the Crude Life Media Network.
We're kind of locked in, we're kind of locked in, girl. We're kind of locked in, we're kind of locked in. We're kind of locked in, we're kind of locked in, girl. We're kind of locked in, we're kind of locked in, oh yeah.
The music on today's program is written and performed by the Moody River Band. To find out more about the Moody River Band or their music, visit our website, thecrudelife.com, and click on the Musician tab. That's thecrudelife.com, and click on the Musicians tab. If you have any questions on oil, gas, or the Bakken, or any other energy development question, feel free to email the program at jason@thecrudelife.com. That's jason@thecrudelife.com. And feel free to like our Facebook page as well. That's facebook.com/buildingthebakken. That's facebook.com/buildingthebakken. Like us on Facebook today. And that concludes this week's episode of Building the Bakken Radio. Building the Bakken will be back next week at this time on this radio station. For a full list of our media affiliates, visit buildingthebakken.com. That's buildingthebakken.com. Building the Bakken would also like to thank its sponsors: MBI Energy Services, cutting edge in oil field safety solutions. For more information on MBI Energy Services or to check out their latest job offerings, visit mbienergyservices.com. That's mbienergyservices.com. Hatch Realty. Hatch Realty's in the business of helping people. They just happen to sell real estate. The Eric Hatch team may not sell real estate in your community, but they can be a resource and a connection for you. Give them a call today at 701-212-1572. That's 701-212-1572. Hatch Realty, in the business of helping people. They just happen to sell real estate. The Lodge at Deadwood. The next time you're planning a conference, wedding, or weekend getaway, consider the Lodge at Deadwood. For more information, visit deadwoodlodge.com. That's deadwoodlodge.com. That's the Lodge at Deadwood, located in the beautiful Black Hills. And from the staff at Building the Bakken, my name is Jason Spies. We're asking you to be safe, be happy, and make it a great day. Thank you, folks, for joining us. We'll see you next week. Let me take a moment to talk to you about Eric Hatch and Hatch Coaching. Eric Hatch has built an empire on the business of helping others, and in this case, that means helping companies create wealth and abundance. Eric Hatch speaks on workplace culture, honesty in the workplace, transparency, faith, compassionate capitalism, and many other topics that will grow your business. Call and reserve Eric Hatch today, 701-318-4946. Or I'll tell you what, send me an email, jason@thecrudelife.com, and I'll make sure that it gets to Eric Hatch.
Since 1979, MBI Energy Services has committed to responsibly growing with today's oil and gas industry by providing proven experience, strategic locations, and integrated services. MBI Energy Services is well established, and its innovation in safety and excellent customer service is what truly makes MBI Energy Services the oil field service professionals. Learn more at mbienergyservices.com.
Meridian Energy Group of Belfield, North Dakota is building the most technologically advanced oil refinery on the planet, the Davis Refinery. A project designed to achieve emission control levels the industry has never seen before. The Davis Refinery, working for North Dakota. MeridianEnergyGroupInc.com.